Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, each and every week, he brings the awesome sauce. He is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel tickled and amused today, Stephen.
Interesting. Do expound.
Are you following this Chaz in Seattle?
No.
This Capitol Hill autonomous zone situation?
No.
Oh, my God. I just go to its subreddit, and you'll find the most hilarious topics ever. Some guy had his tent robbed. He said he locked up his tent. Just I want you to have that, take that in, that you locked your tent up.
Sure.
And someone stole his Mac computer, his backup batteries, his cash. And some guy was like, it's part of the collective now. The best line was, this is Soviet Union. I lost my shit.
Oh, that is pretty good. That is pretty good. Andy, I gotta be honest with you. I miss E3 because
you do. You miss
it. I do because this is entirely too much shit to absorb.
I don't miss it.
This week has been an actual hellscape for anybody that covers video games. It has been bananas. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I go over the top stories across all of gaming, and we debate who had the best, the worst week, and we discuss video games past, present, and future. This show posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including the home of dualscreens.com, which is, of course, Podbean. We are available on any podcast service, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes/Apple Podcasts. And by the way, if you listen there, please consider going over there to the reviews part and leaving us a review. It would help our show's visibility out tremendously. Before we get into the news, and there is a ton of news, let me just touch on what we had this week, what we have coming up next week, all across Dual Screens. We have the Dual Screens podcast. That's an interview show where Andy and I bring on industry guests to talk about their project. And this week we had Chains Awesome Games on, and it was a great, great episode. So that is live. That went up on Thursday. We also put up a bonus reaction to the PS5 reveal stream. So that has its own episode. So that we're going to be a little bit lighter on that for this episode. So if you want our deep thoughts on that, it's all on the same podcast feed. All of our shows are on the same podcast feed. Just scroll one episode back and you'll be able to find that there. And of course, folks, we do this show live every Sunday night on twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. And if you want to support our show monetarily, you can do so by going to patreon.com, just like our Patreon producer and brand new father.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
2 days ago, Colton, the apprentice nestler, has become a daddy to a beautiful baby boy. Everything is everybody's healthy. Mommy and baby are healthy, but he's not the only Patreon supporter that had a baby. This morning, Maltese, our Patreon supporter, had his second child, another healthy baby boy. So welcome to the family. I'm not going to give their names away. So, you know,
good news. I love good news.
That's great news. And remember, you could support us for as little as $1, and every single dollar helps. Andy, now it is time for everybody's favorite segment and favorite future t-shirt, The Adventures in Gaming. Andy, what you been playing?
This is the first time I've actually watched you say the words. Like, I'm watching the camera. Mm-hmm. Now I understand it more. It makes sense to me. You know, I was inspired by one of our former guests on this show, Kyle, a few weeks back, mm-hmm. and I'm playing The Last of Us on Grounded for the PS4. Mm-hmm. It is a bitch. I'm on the bloater boss fight right now, and it's just kicking my ass. And that's where I'm at. So I was playing for a good, like, 6 hours straight, got to that, hit a wall, paused it for a bit, and that's really it. You know, the new one's out on Friday, less than a week away. It's getting stellar reviews. Holy hell, 96 on Metacritic. I cannot believe it scored that high. But yeah, it is Naughty Dog, so are we surprised, really? So just that, and until the sequel overtakes life in less than a week.
Man, I just hope that the gameplay is better, because everything about The Last of Us was great except for the gunplay and stealth just felt a little bit too unrefined, And that was my only real complaint about the game. So I'm looking for, I really do hope that, and everything that I've read so far, like just a couple of tweets here and there, it looks like it's basically perfected. So I'm looking forward to it.
Did you read, that's going on a huge tangent. Did you read Kotaku's review of Last of Us Part Two?
No.
It was like the violence in the game was happening to the player.
There was a big, I don't know if this is in your part of your news, but there was a big, thing going between Corey Balrog and Jason Schreier over somebody referred to The Last of Us Part Two as the Schindler's List of video games.
Okay.
And then there was like a bunch of back and forth on that. Like, I guess some were offended by it. Like the game developer was offended by it. Anyway, it was Jeff. It was Jeff Cantana. Jeff Cantana apparently said it. I don't know what outlet he's from, but basically Corey Balrog was basically accusing Jason Schreier of just being really a bully lately. So it was like this whole back and forth thing between and he was like, are you saying that I'm a bully because I expose terrible workplace environments in your studio or something like that.
Shit.
And he's like, no, if we can make things better, that's nothing to do with that.
Oh, with the clap back. Yeah, you got Schreier.
You got to check it out. You got to check out that.
Twitter. It's pretty insane. I love drama.
So is that all you've been playing?
That's really it. I'm trying to clear the docket because I know what's going to happen in less than a week.
Yeah, I know.
There. It's right fucking there.
Yeah.
What about you?
I started The Outer Worlds.
Oh, yes, you have.
Yeah. I started The Outer Worlds.
That's a time suck. That's a bad time to start a game like that.
Not really. So first of all, I've heard it's on the shorter side as far as a Fallout-like game, which I'm perfectly fine with. I'm role-playing it as Star-Lord.
Of course you are.
I have a ton of charisma and I'm using just like blaster pistols and like whatever I could find as far as a handgun is concerned.
Anti-Steven then.
And then I'm every chance I have, I'm saying something snarky or sarcastic or witty or funny. I'm just going to role play as Star-Lord and I named myself Star-Lord, which is cool. But I really like it so far. Like it's totally scratching that itch that I had for a Fallout that doesn't suck. So I'm very excited to continue with that. But I did that on my stream, which you can find at twitch.tv/badchild. Cheap plug. I did that for about 4 hours the other night and then moved on to other things. But I'll be doing that. I'm going to be streaming that at least once a week. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time with that. What else? What else am I playing? There was something else. It was a small game. Oh, that's right. It's a minute of Apex Legends. Ladies and gentlemen.
You can't do it twice. Can't do that.
Twitch.tv/badchild. When we get a dub, we give away games. And let me tell you, Andy, we have been giving away video games. I have been clipping out some stellar gameplay from one yours truly, Batchild. I've had squad wipes on my own. I got a W when both of my teammates were down and there were four squads left and I got the win. I carried us. Me, baby. Me. Let me tell you, season 5 might be the best season of Apex that Apex Legends has ever had. But there's some other shenanigans going on, Andy, and I want you to know about it. Apparently, an Xbox player has been hacking lobbies.
Oh, yes, I saw this.
And as soon as everybody lands, he kicks everybody out of the lobby, makes it impossible for people to rejoin their game, and he's just going around shooting dudes, getting everybody, killing the whole map with nobody fighting him. And that is a minute of Apex with Steve.
Oh, man. Scoundrel.
A true scoundrel.
Unscrupulous. Highly unscrupulous.
A true jerk face. A true jerk face. Anyway, we have a lot of games to talk about, Andy.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened. It's like, yeah, 5 E3s happened in a week.
Yeah. So the first thing, this is going to be the indie news update. Now, the problem is nearly every single conference or whatever you want to call them, any one of these videos, they had tons of indie games. But there was one that was solely focused on indie games. So that's going to be our indie news update. We're going to cover the Guerrilla Collective, day one and day two. That's right. They did 2 days of this thing. Day one, I believe, was yesterday, if my days are blending together.
Mm-hmm. You are correct.
And day two was today. Now, what we are doing here is we're going to use IGN's Everything Announced and Revealed page. They do a great wrap-up. So if you want to know about that, if you're watching live, I'm going to put it in the chat so you can follow the bouncing ball. That's what those clickety-clacks were. Day three is tomorrow, apparently, which is insane that there's that many days of this stuff. But anyway, so here's day one's wrap-up here. We had System Shock was shown off.
This is a lot. So if you go through every single game, it's going to take you a fucking long ass time.
Just going to see if you have anything to say. But the cool thing was that this is apparently also coming to Stadia. Thoughts?
That's a cool thing.
I mean, it's just interesting that Stadia was like used at all in any of like whatever. Anyway, Cardaclasm, you're a gun. XO1, Almighty, Kill Your Gods, Roki, Genesis Noir, which looks really cool. Doors of Insanity, which also looked really cool. A Juggler's Tale, Lake, Urban Trial Tricky, Boyfriend Dungeon, which, again, still don't have a date for that. And it's only coming to Windows and Nintendo Switch, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, I need that game.
I don't know.
I need that game.
Cult Canyon, I've actually played. What else we got? Slay the Spire is coming to iOS. So they made an announcement on that. Rigid Force Redux. Out Buddies DX. Out Buddies is really cool. We both have copies of that and we never played it. Then they showed some Baldur's Gate 3 footage. Baldur's Gate 3 footage we got there, which was really, really fascinating. And that's coming to Windows and Google Stadia. Disco Elysium was announced that it's going to the Epic Game Store. Mm-hmm. West of Dead, Dwarf Fortress, which actually looks pretty insane. Like, I mean, it doesn't have like great graphics or anything like that, but it's like a, well, whatever, you look it up.
Yeah, that may consume your life by the
look. Yeah, yeah, that looks like an old school like Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sit
yeah.
there at your computer for 12 hours. Valheim was also shown off. Ultra Kill, which looked really cool. That was that Doom, like, where you're just mm-hmm. trying to chain combos together and all that stuff.
Yeah, like a Quake situation.
Children of Morta is getting new characters and free DLC.
Love it.
Which is awesome. We got to see a little bit more of Dusk. Now, fights in tight spaces. Did you see this one, Andy? This was really cool.
Very literal name.
Yeah, so you're basically using... It's a card fighter, where, like, you're in a room full of, like, 15 dudes... And you just keep playing cards to battle and clear the room. It looks really cool. Mm-hmm. Very stylish. Liberated was in there. That actually looks really interesting as well. Gestalt, Steam and Cinder, which we've talked about the show.
Yeah.
That looks incredible. Like, I cannot wait for that game. Then we got to see some more Swim Sanity.
Mm-hmm.
We got No Place for Bravery, which is the top-down action RPG. Haven is shown off for the 50,000th time, and again another game that I don't believe we have a date for still.
It's sometime this year,
hope so. Yeah. Also Goner 2.
I love the first game.
Then probably the best trailer of any of these games.
Is it what I think it is?
So the creators of Goat Simulator have a game coming out called Just Die Already.
Yes.
And they did a shot-for-shot remake of the Death Stranding trailer with a naked old man instead of Norman Reedus.
But they censored out the naughty bits.
They censored his naughty bits, and instead of a baby, he picks up what appears to be a giant dildo. So if you're reading along the article, you have to watch that trailer.
I love the whole, like, please unblock my number, Kojima.
Yes. Apparently,
the whole thing at the end.
There's a whole thing at the end that the developer put in there that was hilarious as well. I think I have it somewhere. Oh, no, I don't. It was on my phone. But yeah, that was absolutely hilarious. So did anything stand out for you on day one?
Well, Haven been following for a long time.
Mm.
And I also feel like the day one was like a recap of a lot of our guests on the podcast.
Yeah, we had a lot.
You know, between Swim Sanity and System Shock and Haven, you know, all the favorites were there. But I love seeing these games get coverage. and the spotlight, because in a conventional E3 setting, all these games may get lost in all the noise of
right.
E3.
Right.
And seeing dedicated days, multiple days for these kind of games is really great. And Baldur's Gate 3. Give me some more Baldur's Gate 3, baby.
Hell yeah. So what stood out to me above what I already spoke about was the game Lake, which is apparently another Stranding game. It's another Strand game.
So many Stranding games, I feel.
It's you're like, just really a male. Happened. You're a male person. You're a male woman. That's it.
Yes,
that's
you are.
In 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a town called Lake something, mm-hmm. and you deliver mail. And I was like, yes, I'm all for this. I'm in.
Yes.
I'm in like Flynn on this, please. So that was day one. Whew.
Day two. Yeah, I had to watch day two, so this is all new to me. So hit me.
Yeah, day two was probably better, but, you know, whatever. It has, whatever. Anyway, the Eternal Cylinder. An alien force called Eternal Cylinder is threatening a planet and cannot be stopped. Eldest Souls was shown. No Straight Roads.
Okay. Oh, now, yes, No Straight Roads. You know that game.
I do.
You know that game.
Yes. Probably game of show, Gory, Cuddly Carnage.
It sounds like an indie
That
game.
Is a Conquer Bad Fur Day spiritual successor
oh.
where you play a cat.
Oh, yes.
Gory lets you hang out with F-R-A-N-K, Frank, a razor-sharp hoverboard, and CH-1P, a depressed modular AI that is constantly complaining, all while taking out hordes of cuddly and horrible toys as Gory, the most adorable and badass cat in the world. If that doesn't get you excited, Andy, I don't know what will.
All right, who's making this game? We got to reach out, make some contact, because they got to come on the show.
It's coming to Windows. I'm going to play the video here. Oh, we have an ad. Of course we do, because it's IGN, and IGN has to have ads. But... And then I will mute it so that
so we can watch it on the live stream.
I just want to get who made it. All right. That's not the pause button. I mean, that's not the,
okay. I wonder if it's actual anyone from the Conquer team, like any former Rare people behind this game, or just, hey, we like that game.
Angry Demon. Angry Demon Studios.
No idea.
Dude, this game looks legit. Very exciting. Metal Hellslinger. That is the rhythm first-person shooter where it's all metal and you have to shoot to the beat and stuff. That looks fucking incredible. Skate Story is coming as well. Silent Jay and Silent Bob Chronic Blunt Punch.
Didn't we just get a game of those two?
Right?
Was it that good? How were the sales? I'm curious.
I mean, how could it not be good?
I love how we went years without a single game based on these two, and now we're getting two in the same year.
Get that money. Vigil the Longest Night, 30XX was shown off today. Source of Madness, Evans Remains is...
That game I backed on Kickstarter, so yeah. Yes.
Skeleton Crew, it's another one that's pretty cool. Launch your enemies like gothic pinballs in this physics-based platformer brawler. Play with up to four friends and defeat all your enemies. Then there was Speed Limit, Evil Genius 2 World Domination, and of course this is a Buzz Killington joint. Buzz in the chat, I know he's all about this game. He was very excited about it. He was throwing exclamation points all over the place. 100 Days Wine Making Simulator. That's right. You get to make wine in a simulator. Per Aspera is a planetary simulation experience that combines the best parts of science fiction and base building. Control the super intelligent artificial consciousness that is designed to terraform Mars for human colonization. That looks really cool.
Steven,
yes.
There should have been some sort of Frasier thing with that wine game, I feel.
Mm-hmm. There should have been a Frasier tie-in.
Opportunity.
There should have been. You're absolutely right. Floppy Knights. It's a deck building, sword swinging, tactical adventure game.
That sounds like college.
Deck building, not dick building. Divinity Original Sin 2 was shown off. Wolfstride, Star Renegades. Star Renegades was really cool. We saw Star Renegades at PAX East this year.
Mm-hmm.
Read Only Memories, Neuro Driver. Read Only Memories is a very popular series. And then Persona 4 Golden for Windows PC was shown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out now, by the way.
I think that was one of the biggest things that the on a separate show, the PC gaming show, which I caught glimpses of, and the only thing I really cared for was Persona 4 Golden on PC, which I appreciate to buy.
Yeah, right. I still have it on my Vita. My Vita's right there. Midnight Ghost Hunt. Corrupt. I'm assuming that's supposed to be Corrupt. 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 Corrupt.
Is it corrupt? Like
the it's supposed corrupt. To be corrupt, but it's Corrupt.
Got it.
Okay. Calico, baby. Yes. Calico. I can't wait. You know what that is, basically. That is a day in the life community sim game that has quite possibly, this is from IGN, quite possibly one of the most important missions to undertake. Rebuild the town's cat cafe and fill it with adorable kitties. Decorate, bake pastries, and hang out with cats. What more can you ask for?
Like, did the developers bug your house? And that's getting all these ideas from.
Listen, cats are popular. Aeolus Tournament was shown. I skipped that one accidentally. That's a action party game featuring up to 8 players. Lost at Sea. Nuts is a first-person narrative surveillance adventure that features unique puzzle mechanics and a bold visual style. The Cabbage Effect. The Cabbage Effect tries to look at what would happen if an alien civilization tried to piece together our history from radio waves. Players must organize the confusing information from snippets of our past to try and piece together the final days of planet Earth, which is invaded by a complex and strange creatures. That sounds hilarious. Dreamscaper.
This we know.
Mm-hmm. We know about Dreamscaper.
Yes.
Almighty Kill Your Gods.
Mm-hmm.
Undungeon. Mm. Undungeon's really cool. It's a stylish action RPG that features real-time combat and rich sci-fi story. Players must travel between dimensions to change the world in an attempt to reconstruct the shattered multiverse.
Well, that's Tiny Build, right? It's a Tiny Build game.
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we got Haven again.
Good old Haven.
Showing us 5 minutes of gameplay this time. Trash Sailors. That is a hand-drawn sailing action game that can be played with up to 4 players.
Got it.
Minute of Islands.
Mm-hmm.
Paradise Killer. Cyanide and Happiness Freakopolyps.
Oh, yes. This one I'm very excited about.
Then they did a Humble Games upcoming title, Sizzle Reel, that has Eichenfell, Pop-Up Dungeon, Ring of Pain, and Ambition, A Minute of Power. One Step from Eden. And then they did an ID at Xbox games little sizzle. So we got Skatebird shown off. We need that game. Please just give us that game.
Yeah, that's right now.
Spellbreak, another one that I want. The Falconeer, The Forgotten City, Call of the Sea, Dead Static Drive, and Welcome to Elk. We're all
sure. Dead Static Drive is a future guest on the show.
That's
I'm very excited about that.
Don't
game.
Forget that's me. Like... Later Daters, Lord Winklebottom Investigates, Pushy and Pulley in Blockland, Princess Farmer.
Okay.
Drake Hollow, Suzerain, El Hijo, A Wild West Tale, Pull Stay, and Summer and Mara, which I'm playing right now, and the embargo is up tomorrow, which I guess I could tell you my thoughts. I really like the game.
Yes, you can.
I really do like the game, but for some reason, like collection sim building games, they're just not for me, but... Because we're doing this live, I can't tell you whether it's good or bad. I could just tell you that it may not be for me. Ito no Yami. That's a slash and blast action side scroller with robotic Japanese folktales.
Okay.
Okay. Raji, an ancient epic.
How much more is there?
Is the last one. Holy hell, indie games never looked better. Never looked healthier.
And we have one more day of this, is what you said before? Yeah, one more day.
Apparently. I think we got 3 days of this.
What's being saved for the last day? Makes you wonder. This is a lot of great games.
Yeah. Buzz Killington says that I skipped over the ID at Xbox section that I just flew through it. That is because the IGN article literally just has the title and then a sentence of who made the game. So you get what I get. All right.
Take that with IGN there, Buzz.
Yeah.
All right. Great stuff. It's a great time for indie games.
Whew.
I feel poorer after you reading that list off to me.
Too many games. So that's the indie news report. So if any of those games sound interesting, throw it on your radar, I guess. So, Andy, let's get into the dual screens report. What do you have for us? What is your first story? What are you bringing to the table?
So let's go big on this first bit of news. Is there's been some confusion as to what the hell Spider-Man Miles Morales is. Yet I don't quite understand why there was confusion.
Mm-hmm. Expound.
So evidently, in an interview with the Daily Telegraph, post moments after the PS5 reveal event, the EVP of European business for Sony, Simon Rutter, described Spider-Man Miles Morales as an expansion and an enhancement to the previous game.
Mm-hmm.
So I read this after all the hoo-ha on the net happened, that everyone's saying, oh, it's just it's a remaster like Last of Us with just like with some DLC tacked on there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read that, it was very clear what it was. It was an expansion. Great. So I thought, okay, Lost Legacy or Iceborne or Monster Hunter.
What does expansion mean to you?
It's going to build off of the base game. And it's not going to be a full-fledged sequel. Like, the number two there should indicate it's not a sequel to Spider-Man.
Right.
So, again, like a Lost Legacy. Not Uncharted 5. It's called Uncharted Lost Legacy. It's going to take what 4 did, its engine, its assets, its world.
Now, here's
build on that.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. The word expansion means something in video games. Mm-hmm. Expansion means additive to a product.
Right.
That you, like, for example, you can't play Iceborne without Monster Hunter, right?
Well, couldn't you buy a standalone Iceborne?
How could you?
I thought that was a thing.
Yeah, but you would still get the base game with it. You know, it might have been a complete package.
Right.
Expansion means, at least in contextual history, which is why everybody lost their mind, when you have an MMO and you buy an expansion, you need the base game. You need the MMO in order to play the expansion. It always says it on the box, you know, base game required.
Right.
Now, DLC also means that, obviously. But yeah, it's not an expansion. It is an expanded, it does expand upon the universe that was there. And I think that's what he meant.
Right. And also to his second point about it's an enhancement to the previous game, that's just like, it's not going to just be a cut and paste reskin of Spider-Man with just Miles. It's going to be, you know, I would guess refined swinging, the PS5 SSD being taken advantage of, better graphics, new moveset for Miles, just enhancing what the first game did. Not we're going to remaster the first game and just tack on this Miles adventure and charge you twice for the same game, basically.
So everybody lost their mind, and then there was some clarification.
Right, and then the clarification came from Insomniac, which I saw on Twitter. There was a response that said, source, and I lost my shit. Insomniac responded to someone and said, it's a standalone game. And someone wrote, source?
A standalone game for PlayStation 5, because that was other PS5. People were saying, oh, if it's an expansion, then it has to become a PS4 too. How misleading. No. How misleading. Dude,
if you look at Miles's model for the PS4 version and then the PS5, when he takes his mask off in the trailer, it is a complete difference. And it's clearly like next-gen graphics happening in the PS5 version.
He looks like
version.
An actual human being in the PS5.
Yeah.
What's the flavor of the day? We are drinking raspberry.
People just frustrate me. Mm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They just want a bitch.
I'm guessing it's going to be a 10 to 12 hour experience, which is fine by me.
Right. Listen, if you're going to have a more refined version of the first Spider-Man game, focused on Miles, who has a totally different moveset than what Peter Parker can do,
and tell his story. Zap powers.
Right. And you know what? It means we're getting 2 Spider-Man games in the PS5's life cycle, this and Spider-Man 2, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that PS5 reveal event, Andy, my bit of news that I bring here is that this reveal event was the most watched gaming live stream in YouTube's history.
Mm-hmm.
And all of YouTube ever.
Yeah. That's going to happen.
So
when your audience needs information and they're just waiting on bated breath for anything.
So now this article was updated. So the original story said that 7.32 million people tuned in via YouTube at all. Mm-hmm. And that the video after the fact has 11 million views. Now this was updated to say that the Twitter account that tweeted that was fake. And okay. Esports Charts did share a thorough analysis yesterday that concluded 7.2 million viewers were connected through four different platforms at the peak, with an average of 4 million viewers.
Okay.
The website also compared it to the Game Awards in 2019 and the Xbox E3 2019. And indeed, the PS5 reveal event is on an entirely different level. Mm. The PS5 was 7,270,523. The Game Awards 2019 was 1,827,000. And the Xbox, the E3 2019 Xbox briefing was 902,000.
Hmm.
A lot of people want that listen, PlayStation. Listen.
Yeah. I really got a hand to Sony because there has been months of pressure from the media saying, hey guys, you got to show us something. We've seen the Xbox console. It's been torn down. We've seen games. There's some sort of lineup happening for its launch. We can get a sense of it, at least. Mm. We saw that third-party partner reveal not too long ago.
Right.
And it was just months and months of trying to get them to show anything about the PS5.
Right.
And Sony's like, bro, get off my dick. I'll show you when I'm ready. And then they came out swinging. Yes. It was just an hour plus of nonstop games and no talk. And that's how you build excitement and buzz and hype. You know, it's like Sony knows that they don't have to convince us to come see their shit. They know they're going to show up in droves to watch their stream.
I still think that they do need to be careful because we know the mistakes they made with PS3, and for a while it looked like they were setting themselves up for that mistake again with their bravado and their back a couple of years ago with the crossplay stuff. Like, no, we're on top. Why would we want to, you know, open up crossplay? And like that started to show that they may be getting a little bit cocky.
The arrogance is definitely,
And that always hurts them because they always make bad decisions when they're like that. But I digress. Now, one of the other things that was interesting about that PS5 reveal, and this is going to be where we kind of talk about that a little bit more on top of what, because some things did come out after. There were internet sleuths that made renderings of the PS5 trying to guess its size based on just the USB port. And according to those renderings, it is massive.
Mm. Size think it does matter.
I think it was like 15.3 centimeters tall or something like that, which is like yay tall, which is, I believe, 4 inches taller than the PS4 Pro standing up. Now, here's the thing about that, though. What we saw at the PlayStation video was not an actual physical console. It was a 3D rendering of the console. And a lot of the times with those 3D renderings, including the Series X. So I'm not saying that it's not the same. I'm not saying you can't compare these two renderings. But the actual renderings usually enlarge things like a USB port or any buttons or anything to exaggerate it, to show it a little bit clearer for the viewers. So it's kind of like on a cereal box where it says enlarge to show texture, not actual size, enlarge to show texture. A lot of the times they do that. I'm not saying I have proof that that's what they did, but it is very possible that it is not going to be as big as people are saying. Like, I feel like they have specifications that they try to hit with the size of these things because people have entertainment centers, bookshelves, things like that. They're typically made for a certain height book. Like, for example, like a, I want to say a typical shelf is what, 14 inches maybe. So, you know, that won't, it won't fit in an IKEA, those square bookshelves like the one I have. It won't fit in there if it's that measurement. So a little bit of me thinks that it's probably not going to be that big. The, but yeah, that, I mean, that's a that's essentially what I wanted to talk about. Like, that was a big thing going around, was they measured the USB port and the disk drive. They compared that to like other console disk drives. And then
yeah, it was all guesswork, I would say, at the end of the day. Like, but I do want to say one thing about the actual design itself. I cannot wait for this thing to be actually torn down and opened up, because I want to see what it looks like on the inside, like what the actual architecture and what Sony did and put in this machine. Because seeing like how the vents are placed and all other fun, like how the shape lends to its actual interior design, I am very excited about that, how it looks on the innards.
And I like
what
that,
they did.
I like that when you stand it vertically, it makes a V for.
Yeah.
The number five, PlayStation 5. That was really smart. That's really cool. There was a big debate going on, you know, people, oh, do you want the refrigerator or the Wi-Fi router? I like the Series X design. I like the minimalist, just, it's a pillar. You could kind of hide it somewhere.
Simplicity.
It's fine. You know, it looks kind of sleek. But I also
like, very smart look. Yeah.
I also like bold and weird. I like weird laptops. I like weird desktop computers with all the fancy lights and stuff. So,
For me, I want to say it looked super aggressive, and I loved it because it was so wild looking. Because you see that we have two different looking consoles, two mentalities, two different ideas when it comes to what next gen is supposed to be.
Yeah,
and I think that is the best thing overall. Is that we can have two different experiences with two different consoles.
All right, what do you got? What's your next news story you're bringing to the table?
See, and you were saying you missed E3 earlier.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like our old friends at 343 Industries.
Oh, boy.
Are just as bummed as you are that there's no E3 this year. According to community manager for 343, Brian Sketch... And the T is the number 7. So it's Skasevich, I guess. Gerard. He posted on Twitter, I know it's trivial, meaningless thing, given the state of the country and much more important issues. But in the parallel universe, I'd be at E3 this week. I'm bummed. This was to be our big year to own the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat on that for a little while. I sat on the thing, to own the show. Well, first of all, when it comes to E3, when you have one of your biggest noisemakers out there, Sony, stepping out, it's easy to say you can own a show.
Mm-hmm.
It's ahead of a next-gen console launch. Nintendo, I think, aside from a few first-party IPs, can't take up that much noise in the room like a new Halo would. But I do want to say one thing, and that's I have never been more excited about what they have to show, 343 and all of the Xbox team. Because after watching Sony's showcase on Thursday, it has set a new standard how these shows are formatted and presented, just the flow. And when it comes to announcements and games being shown, that is where the bar is set now. And I would hope after Microsoft had that blunder with their third-party partner reveal of next-gen gameplay, which it hardly was, they have a lot to make up for in terms of what their console can do, what the games will look like. And I know the games will be there in July,
right,
when the thing comes out. And again, they have this need to get people's attention. And in that desperation, I feel they'll have to outdo, or they'll try to outdo what Sony did on Thursday. So I feel this is a really big chance, and I'm super excited for it, for their big three in July. But yeah, I mean, I don't miss E3 that much, Brian. Gerard. I don't. I like this better because when E3 happens, and to his point about owning a show, that's what everyone thinks going in. How can I win E3? How about giving the best show possible, showing the games, and let us decide who did a good job? This one-upmanship that happens at E3, I'm glad it's gone, to be honest. And we don't need it anymore.
Mm. It is better for the consumers and the developers to actually... Everybody has a stage. We have multiple eyes in multiple places. The problem that I'm having as somebody that tries to be in the know... The no is impossible to follow at this point. It's mm-hmm. You need wrap ups. If you sit there and you consume all of this, which you're getting the same game shown in three different ways on three different things. You're getting it in the PC Gaming Show. You're getting it at the Guerrilla Collective. You're getting it in Games Radar. You're getting there's just so much shit to watch.
And it's like things you missed at E3 that you weren't on the stage.
It's like walking the E3 floor, but not playing anything.
Right.
Just looking at banners and being like, oh, that logo looks cool. That little gameplay video on that TV looks cool. Okay, time to go home. But you do that for a month and a half. It's crazy. Right.
Well, listen, also, just to say one last thing about this. Don't worry about owning a show. Make me want to buy a Halo game again. How about that as a jumping off point? Halo 5 wasn't that great.
So, Buzz... in the chat says this week is Steam's big event. What is the fucking point of a Steam having an event? We just had the PC game show. Why couldn't you do that there?
Let me ask you, Buzz, if there was an Epic show, would you bitch about that? I'm curious. Or would you welcome that?
But he does say that the Steam thing is where they're going to say that you get to play the games at home, which is fine. Yeah,
what if they announce fucking, you know, Portal 3 at this thing or Half-Life 3?
There, shut it. Stop it. Stop it, you fool. I just added a story to the doc here, which I wanted to talk about.
We were deprived of headlines for the show. Throw more shit in there while you're at
Andy,
it.
Andy, this is a conspiracy.
Oh, God. It's on Screen Rant. That's fun.
No, it's all over the internet. And what some of them, as I was editing a React video.
Oh, no. This could have been the hype zone.
No, there's a better hype zone. Dude, it's freaking me out, man.
No, stop, Steven.
I'm serious.
Are you falling for this?
Falling for it? You have the Ratchet and Clank video. The dude introducing Ratchet and Clank looks CG. He does not look real.
All right, I'm gonna put the tinfoil hat on and go on this wild ride with you.
So wait, okay. This is coming from Screen Rant. An absurd conspiracy theory suggests that the presenters during the PlayStation 5 reveal event were not real people, but CGI replacements possibly created using the PS5's own hardware. The PS5 has been unveiled along with a slew of first-party games slated for the next-gen system's initial launch window and beyond. The presentation was generally accepted by the game. Generally accepted? Fuck you. It's 8 million people. With particular praise given to the prevalence of in-game footage and extended looks at previously unannounced titles. They were nevertheless, some viewers were put off by the aesthetics of the presenters, who looked a bit odd, potentially...
Put off?
Potentially even falling into the uncanny valley for some people. Maybe it was their lighting, of the varied video cameras they used to record themselves, or the uniform black background they'll use, but some people just felt like something was off about the visage of the presenters.
No. Mm-hmm. What is this? Like, mm-hmm. So we have Microsoft do this at-home look, like we're doing a Zoom call. You know, for work, and then we have, let's do one better, let's have a whole, let's CGify our fucking staff.
I'm telling you. Shit looks weird, dude. Man. I'm gonna find, okay, hold on.
Let me ask you this, has Sony released a 4K version of the actual presentation, or just the trailers?
They were supposed to, I don't know if they did.
Because, you know, you're gonna release your stream, it's 1080p, and 30 frames per second, you can hide the fact that maybe they aren't CG. But if that was a little bit clearer, more cleaner in resolution, we could tell if they were fake. But listen, if that shit's fake, you know, PS5 fucking convinced me that it wasn't
the Ratchet and Clank one. It was
You know,
I don't know which one it was.
I didn't think for a second that they weren't real people,
dude. I'm telling you.
And if they weren't, that's impressive.
I think the ones with all the developers, like all in the Brady Bunch shit, that was real.
Yeah, that was real because it's not polished. It's right. Went home and fucking right. Zoom camera,
dude.
You know,
if you scroll the webcam. Oh, he looks so weird. If you scroll to like 313 of our PS5 console reveal reactions video, he looks so weird. You can't see his, like, inside his mouth is just black. It's creepy. And it's like, it looks like a deep fake. I'm telling you, it looks like a deep fake.
No, you have to stop.
Whatever.
Get some help.
Whatever.
It can't be real.
Do you have a final story? What did you do? You do. Yes. You got one more story. I moved it up to you because I knew it was going to be one of the things you wanted to talk about. So go ahead.
Well, let's see what's going on.
It's the Demon Souls.
What did you? Oh, yes. I'll double click on that. Before I dive into this, thank you for finally confirming Blue Point Games' next project, Demon Souls, is happening. After that fucking tweet that was like,
put it in my mouth.
Metal Symphony of the mouth. Dragoon will put relieve the mouth. Silent. No, like, we finally got, after all this time, speculation and confirmation from reliable sources, it's here. Demon Souls is back, baby. But this is not a remake.
No, and I called it
a remaster.
I called it after we watched it. I called it and I said that this does not look like they're remaking the game. It looks like they're well, the word they use is reimagined, but it looks like they are
re-envisioning.
It looks like they are taking the what the game was, the story, and they're kind of doing their Final Fantasy VII remake take of it.
Though if you look at the shot for shot, it's a lot of it taken from the source material. It's very much
a lot of the cinematic spots. Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Now, this for me, I'm super hyped because I feel there's a lot of stuff that was left on the cutting room floor for Demon Souls that they can go back in and actually add to the game. And I think this is why I love the idea of what a remake can bring to the table. It's like a second chance. Mm-hmm. It's what was there that we couldn't do or didn't have time to do, or that hardware kind of held us back a little bit. So having that chance for Demon Souls, which was, I think, one of the best games on the PlayStation 3, is amazing. Now we're also getting something called a fractured mode, which I think they're pushing two options for graphics, one more for fidelity. So I think 4K and I imagine 30 FPS or lower res for 60 FPS. Mm. That's the guess right now. But again, the bigger point is that this will not be exactly what Demon's Souls was, which I think for a fan like me who's played the first one to death, gets me even more hyped because now it's going to feel a lot like FF7 did in many ways, like a new game. So I'm all for that.
Folks,
and it looks gorgeous. Holy hell, does it look nice.
Yeah,
it does. My God.
Folks,
oh my God.
This is very important. I need you, if you're driving in your car, pull over.
Oh God, it's...
Put on the hazards, recline your seat, fling yourself back and chill.
Wait. They couldn't. You should have had that warning during the whole fake people conversation.
No, because I am blown away by a video game that is coming next month. Blown away by what I saw.
Blown.
Just dropped on the YouTube universe, Andy, from our friends at Nintendo.
Mm.
Dude, this Paper Mario game.
Mm-hmm.
The Origami King.
This sold me.
This looks fucking
good. This trailer sold me. You have
Stop
no idea.
What you're doing right now.
Oh
watch
my God.
This trailer. It was a reveal slash trailer. It was about 5 minutes. My phone is vibrating like crazy. Somebody better be murdered. Somebody better be dying is all I have to say. Nobody's dying.
They didn't pull over and put their hazards on. That's what happened.
No, nobody's dying. Holy crap, dude. The combat system you have a timer, and all the enemies are scattered on this, like, on these sphere, these, not spheres, they're, like, little tracks that go around in circles, little rings. And you have to line them up in the time you're given so that you can make maximum damage with your abilities. Like, if you have them in a certain cluster, your hammer attack will hit that cluster, so you can do damage to them. If you line them up in a line, Mario could jump on their heads in a line. It looks unbelievable. You get to play with, oh, what's his name? Kamek. Yeah. You get to play with a Bomb-Omb.
Who lost his memory.
Who lost his entire memory.
And Amnesiac Bomb-Omb.
He's just in your party. what is it? Detective Toad, I believe?
Professor Toad.
Professor Toad, not Detective. Yeah. Right. Professor Toad could be in your party. I imagine there's going to be more.
There was maybe Bowser. I saw. Dude. And also, was it Bowser in an origami shape? That's with him.
So there, yeah. So there, the whole collect-a-thon of this game is that there are toads that have been folded into different things. Like one was a egg in a frying pan.
Yeah, and I was over someone's breakfast.
You have to find these things, and when you do, they help you in your battles. They surround the battle and they help you along the way. So, I mean, this game is going to be absolutely ridiculous. I truly believe this might be a Game of the Year contender. Even with if Horizon comes out this year, even with Miles Morales, even with Cyberpunk, I think this Nintendo game, it looks incredible.
I love the care given to what is really just a sub-series of a Mario game. It's not a mainline game. It's just an offshoot franchise for Mario. And there's so much in this game. Like, it's... You got the fucking origami part of it and the look of it, which looks fantastic.
The exploration, again, too. Like, oh my
God. It makes me long for a proper Nintendo Direct. You could have used this as part of it and other shit. Like, why are you going to do this for? What's going on?
And the last Paper Mario wasn't really well received as far... Like, no. I didn't...
Was that the... it was all the sticker crap. That's what ruined it.
Yeah, Sticker Star? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like that, but... I mean, this looks just absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's a day one for me. Day one.
It really is. And you know, we did a Nintendo podcast for almost 3 years. We covered Nintendo extensively, but when we got away from Nintendo in January, I kind of didn't really pay much. I don't want to say I didn't pay attention to them, but like, they started to mean a little bit less to me because I didn't have to be in there to cover them all.
It's going from a laser focus.
Right.
It's broader. You've zoomed out to gaming in general.
For example, I still have not opened Zelda Link's Awakening remake. I still have not even opened it.
Oh my God. Like, you still play the good games, dude.
I know. But
I've stopped the podcast. I can't play the games anymore. No time.
The urgency wasn't there because I now had to, focus on a lot of other things. So I did Animal Crossing instead. I still didn't even beat Pokemon. But at the same time, I really wasn't...
You got that expansion coming out, too.
I know. I wasn't, like, super into the Pokemon. Like, in the beginning, I was. But then as I kept going along, I'm like, I kind of did this already. I don't know if I really want to do this anymore. So I put it on the shelf. Animal Crossing got its hooks in me. That's it. You're like, I'm going to give these games a chance. And Link's Awakening, I played the original extensively in stream, and it put me off to the game. So maybe that's why I never picked it up.
Because it made you feel stupid.
No, it's because it's esoteric and obtuse. That's why. Because it has shitty game design.
Oh, I remember it so clear. You had to do the whole push through a wall thing that did the rotating wall.
I had...
You're like, where do I go? What do I do? It's like, you're going to push the wall that has a little funky design on it.
I had a friend watching those streams, and at one point he stops. He says, that's it. I'm just going to say it. This game is terrible. This game's the game design.
Come on.
Is
terrible.
Shit.
Nah.
How are you supposed to know you have to item trade with like 15 people? None of them.
Yeah, but they tell you who needs.
Get out of here. I don't want to hear it. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I think Paper Mario Origami King is going to be a day one buy for me.
Right.
I hope to God there are some stores open in July because this shit's got to stop.
Oh, Nelly. All right. So shall we discuss winners and losers? Do we have any?
No, we don't really do that anymore. I got to change the intro. Yeah. I got to change the intro. There were a lot of other things that were shown this week. Obviously, the PC Gaming Show, which had a ton of games.
a lot of stuff, but nothing really grabbed me, like, attention-wise. I saw bits and pieces, but nothing. That show hasn't always been... It's always kind of, like, lukewarm, that show. Mm.
Andy, it's time to get into the hype zone, and let me tell you a story. Take this little journey with me, Andy. Papa Steven's going to tell you a little story here.
Oh, no. It's a nightmare.
You may know that the Xbox Series X is on its way. Nintendo Switch is as popular as ever. Mm-hmm. The PlayStation 5, breaking records. Its reveal broke records. People are excited. But the PlayStation 5 and the Series X and the Nintendo Switch ain't got nothing on a new competitor that has entered the fray.
And who's that, Steven?
The Colonel himself.
Yes, he has.
Colonel Sanders is here. Move over. This is coming from Destructoid.
Bringing those seven herbs and spices.
Move over PlayStation 5 and get lost, Xbox Series X. KF console is the future of gaming. They tweeted out, KFC Gaming tweeted this out, so it's that's a real thing.
Yeah.
A bucket of chicken shaped gaming console.
Now, Steven, that's the look, but can you get it? What does this offer? Like, we have flops and new hard drives or solid state drives.
The powerhouse promises cross-platform compatibility.
Yes.
Cross-platform. Which platforms? We don't know. Mm-hmm. True 4K 120 frames per second.
Yeah.
And most importantly,
say it.
A built-in chicken chamber.
Yep.
To keep your high-calorie, high-sodium processed meat nice and warm.
This is the future of gaming, my friends. You know, we talk about, again, the flops, the solid-state drives, the resolution.
Andy.
Steven.
I think this might be real.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to have to be real at this point.
I
need this to be reality. It can't not be real.
I'm beginning to think that it is real. I just dropped the link in the chat.
Right. We should address Buzz also in the chat.
Yes, he used his channel points to submit a story. Mm-hmm. And this was actually going to be a story that I was going to throw in there, but I actually forgot to do it. So I'm glad you brought it up. AT&T is actively searching to sell off WB Games, which of course make the Batman Arkham games, among other properties.
They also own the Harry Potter
license as well.
To the tune of $4 billion, it seems, is the asking price.
They do Lord of the Rings too, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So... you know, there's been some buzz about Take-Two being looking at this in some way, EA and Activision. I'm just going to say anyone but EA and Activision can have this.
Yeah, they also have the Lego games, that's right.
MK11 has like this fucking mobile grindy setup with it, which would be a dream come true for EA. Like, oh, they can make so much more money out of this. It's already there. We can look at even more so. No, that's anyone but those two. Gladly take it.
Buzz has been saying this a lot, but he wants Microsoft to open the money.
Now, right. So I find that interesting, Buzz, because I feel like your need for them to buy this means your confidence is lacking in what Microsoft can do. Like, this is some sort of linchpin for them. Like, if they don't have this, are they doomed in some way? Because, you know, they've bought up so many. Because I feel like you want to brag about this in some way as the, you know, our resident Xbox fanboy, as it were. Microsoft did purchase Minecraft for $2 billion. Do we see them spending $4 billion on this, Steven?
Here's the thing. I don't think, I would imagine that WB Games doesn't want to be sold to a single platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, Microsoft does have PC and their console, and also Microsoft does put Minecraft everywhere else. So they could maybe work out a deal where they put it on. They also publish on PlayStation brands through Microsoft's publishing arm. But I think Microsoft and Sony are off and Nintendo are off the table for that reason. I just that's just my guess, is like they want to take a Batman and they want Batman to be
everywhere.
Make Mortal as Kombat, much money
everywhere.
As,
right. Lego, Harry Potter, all of it.
Because remember, it's AT&T that's getting the $4 billion, not WB. So and it's, of course, it's AT&T's overall decision, but I have to imagine that the studio wouldn't want to be sold to someplace where they're limited to where they could put things, including mobile. WB makes a ton of money on mobile gaming as well.
And also when you look at Microsoft, you know, it, with the Xbox One, they didn't sell as many units as a PlayStation or even a Switch. I'm not sure they're willing to throw $4 billion more into gobbling up Warner Brothers Studios. They bought enough lately, and I don't think they can. I mean, they could afford it, yes, but just another $4 billion seems like, I don't know, a bit outrageous.
It doesn't seem right that Sony or Microsoft would own WB Games. It just doesn't seem right. Like maybe one of the studios within it, like WB Montreal, maybe they piecemeal it. Maybe they say, you could have the talent. We're selling the IP to, you know, EA. Mm-hmm. But the studios go, you can buy this. That would actually make sense for AT&T because they can make way more money doing it that way. Because the IP...
Just do an auction for all the licenses. Yeah, like, okay, who wants it? Come and get it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, if you really think about it, Lord of the Rings, Batman, Lego, and Mortal Kombat, those four IP, and Harry Potter, for God's sakes, all of those IP are worth way more than the studios. Mm-hmm. If you could have anybody make those IP, that's huge. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that they should really think about maybe doing that. I don't know. What do I know? What am I, the police? I don't know anything. By the way, that's from SNL, so don't come at
me. Right. No one's coming at you.
I'll start slapping people around here. All right, let's get to the mailbag here. We have a bunch of questions.
We have some spicy questions.
So this comes from Mikey Kirsch via our mailbag at our Discord. Seeing more and more strategy card games, and I don't really like it. Not sure I understand the appeal. The indie scene is chock full of these types of games. Explain the appeal of the genre to me and recommend a game that is a great entry level for someone who wants to get it. So I play a lot of card games, and I like their digital forms, although there are way more than I can ever keep up with. The thing that I like about a lot of these card games, Kirsch, especially the card game RPG genre, not necessarily the actual tabletop digital version of like a tabletop card game.
Like a Magic, for example.
Right. Like Magic is one thing. All those card games are another thing. What I like about it is it's a lot of these games, what they're essentially doing is they're making a role-playing game where instead of button presses to do certain attacks, the attacks are collectible cards. And I like that you can mix and match and everything. The fights are always different because you have a deck of abilities and powers and attacks and weapons and whatever that you use to fight. Like Slay the Spire is the best example of this. Mikey Kirsch, if you get Game Pass, Slay the Spire is on Game Pass right now for PC. I recommend it 1,000%. It is probably the best example of how you could take a collectible card game and mix it with a RPG or different genre like RPG and smash them together. Also, Cardpocalypse, because Cardpocalypse is a parody of when we were kids playing Pokemon, and it tells an RPG story where all of the fights are them playing the collectible card game. So it's like it's very different than your typical card game. So that would be my recommendation. I don't know, Andy, if you have any.
Well, I wanted to just expand that. I feel like these kind of games are so easy to get into from a gameplay perspective. And all the focus is into what the cards themselves say. It's like you have all the information on the card. And it says what it's going to do. It's going to +2 damage this or add more shield here. And there's so much fun building what your deck can do. And it adds such a huge layer to what games that are in the same genre can't even offer. And that's also part of the fun. And once you find a good one, and I say it, go for Slay the Spire, it's a great entry point for the genre. you'll fall in love. Guarantee you. Guarantee it.
Yep. I believe that those are good entry points. Buzz Killington, of course, he asks always questions. What games not shown in the Sony event were your favorites?
What games not shown in the Sony event
were our favorites?
Do you want to go first? And I'm going to think about my answer for a little bit.
I think Boyfriend Dungeon.
Uh-huh.
I'm very excited for that. Always. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Baldur's Gate 3.
I'm surprised by that answer from you.
Boyfriend Dungeon?
Yeah.
I like dungeon crawlers, man. I like dungeon crawlers, and it has a really interesting little twist to it. I like that.
You want to date some swords and make love to a battle axe?
Oh, the metal rhythm game.
Mm.
I love that too.
Mm. I'm going to say everything that was shown from New Blood.
Mm.
What was that one game? It was like Overkill or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That game. Those guys are all right.
Get him back on the show so he could eat his carrots or celery or whatever.
Eat his pickle.
That's what it was. Colton the Apprentice Nestler, the new dad, he asks, what do you think the female Lombax name is in the new Ratchet and Clank trailer? My money is on Mallet. What do you think, Andy?
What did you say?
Colton thinks Mallet.
A Mallet, okay.
Mallet, yeah.
Well, I think let's play it safe. I think Axel would be a good name.
Hmm.
Or we could call her Trowel or Ho.
I think Socket or Sprocket.
Sprocket, I like the sound of that.
Now, here's the thing. Is Sprocket trademarked by Hanna-Barbera? I don't even know if it's a real word.
Could be. Shit. You could call her Gadget.
Gadget, yeah.
Go for the Disney reference.
But I like Socket.
Mm-hmm.
Going into our chat, we have Pliers and Corkscrew from Mikey Kirsch. He also said tool belt and washer.
Yo, washer sounds way sexist, though. You gonna give a female character the name Washer?
Oh, we actually got two late questions here I want to throw in the doc.
Oh, do that.
From Jogon.
Oh, Joe with the question.
He disappears except for the ask question. With the upcoming Pokemon DLC, do you think there will be any surprises this week that we weren't expecting? They did have that one story where if you have the DLC and you also have a certain Pokemon in your party, you get Ash Ketchum's hat from the show. That's a surprise.
That seems like a lot of work just to get a fucking hat. Does the hat give you magical powers? Does it act like a Master Ball?
I think they're going to play it safe because they have the DLC coming out, which is the Isle of what is it called? I forget. I forget the name of it, but they have that coming out and then they have Paper Mario. So I don't think they're going to focus on any Pokemon after the DLC until after Paper Mario comes out. So maybe in August they'll start teasing the next pack, which is supposedly coming out in November, I believe, or October. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Another question from Jogon.
Mm.
When will we see Super Mario Party 2? Is the gaming industry not going to let out a big E3 style online conference thing soon?
Hmm. Well, Mario Party 2, I'm not sure if it's high up on Nintendo's priority list, as it were.
I want to see at least DLC at some point. Yeah, shocked that they do not have DLC. That is the...
Yeah.
How they are not just printing money by coming out with new boards for that game.
But the game sold very well.
Yeah, because so it's Mario Party. You wouldn't
capitalize on that? Like, literally capitalize. You get more capital from people.
Because they were making that 51 games.
And get our money. Oh, yeah.
Which apparently that also...
If that sells over a million copies or 2 million copies...
It will. Then it absolutely will.
Yeah.
But
still, I feel like we have more DLC for Mario Kart 8, which is how old is that game right now? Back on the Wii U? I think we need some more love for Mario Party. It's long overdue.
Yeah. No, I listen, I think what they need to do is what they should do is for $4.99 come out with new boards. Maybe a board and one character that is themed after that board.
Yes, you could do like build off your existing like a Metroid board or like a Rabbids board, something, you know?
Literally anything, Nintendo.
Yeah, do a Zelda board for all I care.
Well, you could even keep it
just do a fucking Origami Paper Mario board.
Origami!
That's how you sell that.
The Origami Killer.
Do an Origami board.
But yeah, I think doing four of those.
And what was the next part? Was question about something about...
This is a weird. Is the gaming industry not going to let out a big E3-style online conference thing soon? He's not paying attention to the world because everybody is doing an E3 big
conference thing. Right. There's like five E3s happening at once right now. I love how it was day two of the Guerrilla Collective on day three of the IGN Summer of Gaming. It's like, wait, what's this? Like, it's a thing within a thing.
Yeah, there's also the Summer of Gaming, which...
Right.
Oh my God. How do you keep track of any of this? I don't.
It's like one of those Russian dolls pulling out. There's more conventions.
The answer is we don't know what's happening. That's the problem. let's check and see if we got any other questions. I'll check Facebook, our Facebook group, which you can join at facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts.
I do love this Wild West approach to the E3. It's like it's anything goes.
Who's got games to show? You got games to show? All right.
Yeah, show them off.
All right, we got nothing. But I did ask in our Facebook group, I did ask our listeners, what are their most anticipated next-gen games so far? Mm. Mikey Kerr says Horizon. Mm-hmm. He also said Ratchet & Clank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kalai, former guest of the show, said Cyberpunk 2077, which I said, get back in your room. That is not next gen.
Yeah.
Then there was a big argument.
Not reading.
There's a big argument here.
Oh, shit. But if it's next gen or not?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. Don't die on that hill.
Buzz Killington says Cyberpunk is coming out on next gen. LOL.
Sure.
It's a current gen game that will also be on next gen. It is not a next gen game.
Right.
Buzz says, having a next-gen version makes it next-gen. And I said, so any backwards-compatible game is next-gen? So Halo 3 is next-gen? Sit down before you hurt yourself, Buzz. Said, no, because Halo 3 doesn't have a next-gen version, dum-dum. What does that mean? What does that mean?
No, that's a cross-generational game. It's not a next-gen game. There's already a term for that. It's cross-gen.
Cross-generational.
Yeah.
Thornstone, our editor-in-chief, said Guilty Gear Strive, because he's a huge fucking nerd.
He would say that. He fucking would pick a fighting game.
You nerd.
You weeb.
Brian Weatherhead says Horizon. Joseph Moran, a.k.a. Mr. Bad Bit, shows Spider-Man Miles Morales. Cat says Spider-Man and Horizon. Josh says Demon's Souls Remaster and Elden Ring.
Elden Ring is another one to watch. God, we're going to get... See, I love how we're getting a proper From Software Demon's Souls-like game, mm-hmm. Dark Souls game, in Elden Ring. And then we're getting a remake of where it all started in Demon's Souls.
Mm.
It's a great time to be alive. Can I just say one thing on that Ratchet & Clank?
Yeah.
I love how it was like, if you watched it closely, you could see the importance of the solid state drive on the PS5.
Yes. Because it is in real time.
That is what we're talking about, mm-hmm. people. If you mm-hmm. watch that trailer, and I love the concern of people saying it's going to take years to unlock that drive potential in games. And here you are in pre-alpha footage. You're loading in seamlessly assets of totally different worlds in the blink of an eye, and you fucking miss it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And these are early games.
Right.
You'll see in years how that evolve. And that will fucking evolve too in a couple of years.
Daniel says Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 and NHL 22. NHL 22 I'm on board for. If they make Part 2 of Final Fantasy that is a problem.
Listen, I want to say, I'm not a sports guy, but that NBA game,
Zion
2K21.
Yeah.
That shit looked good.
Yeah, it looked like a human.
mean a sweaty ass black man is showing up that's in the game?
Joe Wilson says Spider-Man Miles Morales, like, bruh, we're getting a Spider-Man game in 2020 and Miles is the star.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah, I'm with that too. I'm all about that life.
Yo, that Project Agathia, mm-hmm, that Square Enix new IP that they showed.
Yep.
So that, looking forward to that because of that whole design for PS5 thing they slapped on the end there. I want to see what that game looks like on the PS5 and the PC and the Digital Foundry report on those two. Because if one is designed specifically for PS5,
mm-hmm,
there's some magic going there with the secret sauce that is the hard drive, I feel, that they're going to really take advantage of.
Speaking of Digital Foundry, they came out with a video saying that almost everything shown on the PS5 was at 1440, not 4K, and that, mm-hmm, it was at 30 frames, yada, yada. I honestly, I wouldn't even know how you would even begin to know that on based on...
I saw the word maybe in quotes.
There was probably, and possibly. Yeah. But also, it was a 1080 stream.
Right.
So I don't really know how they got that information or where they got that information from.
Maybe they have their own magic sauce. They can start by looking at it.
Who am I? What do I know?
Right? You're not the police.
What am I, the police? What do I know?
You're not the police.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of this beautiful program.
Oh, man.
This is a good show. This was a good one.
It was a good show.
It was a good show, but we're going to have...
I feel like we should... Listen. I want to say one thing also. I really enjoy doing the live reaction to the Sony stream.
Uh-huh.
So those are going to be a thing now that we do.
Oh, we're going to... Well, in a COVID environment, I can. You know?
Right. Yes. When we're not at home.
Typically, we're not home. We're usually right when these things happen, especially Nintendo's, because they do them at 1 p.m. like a bunch of jerks. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for the show. If you want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Again, if you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. If you want to follow us on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/DualScreenStreams. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/DualScreensTV. That's youtube.com/DualScreensTV. Please get us to 200 subscribers. We are very close. We were just 40 or so away. Or 30 or so away, I should say. Mm-hmm. Thank you to our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions, for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay that you see all around us and our logo. Thank you to Andrew Douglas for our cartoon art. We love you very much. And again, if you want to shop for sweet, sweet Dual Screens merchandise, go to dualscreens.com/store. Andy, before we go, is there anything you want to tell the kids?
Well, I could announce our next guest for the Dual Screens podcast.
Please do.
Thursday. We're talking to Main Six, developers of Them's Fightin' Herds, which I want to thank our resident writer and all-around great guy, Thorne Stone, for that recommendation, because that game looks outrageous. I played a little bit of it last week. It is nuts. It's a fighting game with farm animals, and I can't wait to talk to this guy tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have next week's show is going to be huge as well. We're going to have the Star Wars reveal, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
The EA's thing is next week. So is that Tuesday? I don't know. I lose track of everything.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. We're going to be there for it. And the big publishers like an EA, I think we should strive to try and do a reaction.
Right. I want to say EA will do Microsoft for sure in July. Maybe some of the state of plays too. I think there's a big one in August because Sony was saying how this is just the beginning of what they're showing for PS5. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what that looks like.
Should be good stuff. But you know, keep it tuned to Dual Screens on Twitch and Dual Screens on YouTube. Again, thank you very much for watching live. Thank you for watching on YouTube. And if you are watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button and give us a thumbs up. We would appreciate that just immensely. Andy, thank you for joining me. Thank you, chat. And as always, please be excellent.